Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air Monday morning, Illinois over the weekend reported another 5,400 confirmed cases of COVID-19, plus 168 more deaths. That brings the state total to more than 61,000 test-confirmed cases and 2,618 lives lost. Numbers, numbers, numbers. Every morning, we update those numbers at the beginning of our show, and I don't know about you, but for me, the bigger they've gotten, the more abstract they seem. So before we get to the rest of the show today, I want to share with you a way of thinking about the disease I found helpful. It landed in my inbox last week in Bloomberg's daily coronavirus email. The short piece by John Tozzi is called Overcoming Abstraction, and it begins, quote, "Imagine that a plane crashed in early March, then another weeks later. Soon, several drop from the sky every day. People shun non-essential air travel, which limits the toll, but 2 months into the catastrophe, more than 1,000 still die daily, a jet crashing every few hours. How quickly would we rush back to the sky?" Unquote. Tozzi acknowledges his analogy as imperfect. It's not just air travel that's been affected by COVID-19, but huge swaths of our economy. Nevertheless, imagine a standard domestic flight, say a 737, with 150 Illinoisans on board. One plane crashes, then another, and another, and another, and another, and by today, 17 full passenger planes would have had to crash in Illinois in the last month or so to kill the same number of our fellow citizens as the coronavirus. Later on today's program, we'll talk to an expert on the Illinois Constitution about legal challenges to the governor's stay-at-home orders, and we'll hear the perspective of a Southern Illinois woman who's been struggling since her barbershop, like so many other businesses, has been closed. Then a look at what's fact and what's fiction in Mrs. America, a new TV series from FX. It's about Phyllis Schlafly, who 4 decades ago helped defeat the National Equal Rights Amendment in the Illinois General Assembly. But first, it's Monday, and that means it's time for our reporter roundtable on the latest with COVID-19 in Illinois. Joining me to talk about that are Molly Parker, a reporter for the Southern Illinoisan, Allison Petty, regional editor with the Herald and Review paper in Decatur, and Rebecca Anzel, who covers the state government for Capital News Illinois, a wire service run by the State Press Foundation. Molly, Allison, Rebecca, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Molly, I'm going to begin with you. Over the weekend, you reported on a large outbreak at Gilster Mary Lee Corporation. First, what is Gilster Mary Lee Corporation and what's going on there?
Gilster Mary Lee is a food manufacturer. They make a lot of different types of products for store brands, like when you're in Kroger and you see the store brand, that's their wheelhouse. And they make everything from soup mixes to mac and cheese, all kinds of pasta, baking mixes for bread coating and, you know, chicken coating and things like that. Just a ton of products. They employ nearly 4,000 people across a handful of states, the most of them in Randolph County, which sits, you know, halfway between, say, Carbondale and St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And they've had a pretty large outbreak. They've had a number of things going on there. It started in the administrative office in early April, where the cases were identified, sadly leading to the untimely death of their president and CEO, had been at the company for just decades, Don Welge. A number of people affected, including his sons and other office staff, many of which have recovered. But then there, you know, later was an outbreak in various plants that have had to shut down and take measures to try to control that now.
And just to be clear, I mean, I think a lot of people, when we've been talking about coronavirus in Illinois, people think mostly in the Chicago region, maybe the Metro East part of St. Louis, a handful of big downstate cities. But this is happening in remote areas, too, or relatively, you know, remote areas.
That's right. Randolph County is, you know, a pretty small community county of people, you know, just a handful of small towns. People probably know of Chester, home of Popeye. Stillville, that's where the plants are located. Gilster is headquartered in Chester, and they have 2 plants there, and then they have 2 plants in Stillville. And last I checked, Randolph County, you know, because of its low population and this surge of numbers related to Gilster Mary Lee, had one of the highest per capita rates of COVID infection. So it's definitely, you know, definitely hitting our area here, and lots of concern here because this is also Randolph County, also the home of Menard Correctional Center, one of the state's largest IDOC facilities, as well as Chester Mental Health.
Yeah, two big state correctional, well, I guess one's a correctional facility, the other's a mental health facility, as you said. Are you seeing outbreaks, any other major outbreaks in Southern Illinois, Molly, that you've been tracking?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them seem to be clustered around places like the employment center here or like in the rest of the state, nursing homes. And I know we're going to be talking about that, but we've certainly had a couple of nursing homes, one in Carbondale, one in Mount Vernon, that have been, you know, hit pretty hard. And of course, it's hard to know, you know, the degree to whether this is happening elsewhere, because I think once they, you know, identify it, say at Gilster Mary Lee, there were cases popping up, and now they're doing not necessarily mass testing, as in everyone being tested, but they've stationed hospital workers there, and if anyone is symptomatic, they're testing them. So of course, you're going to see more numbers, you know, when you do that, and so it's hard to know exactly where else it might be happening that we just don't know of yet.
Mm-hmm. All right, Allison Petty with the Decatur Herald and Review. I want to bring you into the conversation. As Molly just said, you see a lot of outbreaks at nursing homes and other facilities for senior citizens and people with disabilities. In Decatur, that includes Fair Havens. Can you tell us, remind us, what happened at Fair Havens in Decatur?
Yes. So there have been at least 75 cases associated with Fair Havens between the staff and the residents. That's the number as of late last week. The staff at the facility say they don't know how it came in. The administration says it was first detected in a resident who had left for dialysis treatment and then was taken to the hospital from the dialysis center. So the facility says that it took every precaution to prevent the spread of this, although there are some families who are disputing that on social media. In any case, they've had 11 residents diagnosed with COVID-19 who have died. Some of them have died at hospitals. Some have died at the facility. It was April 7th when the health department here first confirmed that there had been cases there. And on April 20th, the Illinois Department of Public Health brought them 300 test kits. That's when the number really spiked. It went from 38 to 71 cases in one day.
Wow. I guess that just goes to the idea that just because the reported number of cases might be low, there are probably cases that are just not known until we can actually test for them. So, Allison, I understand you recently visited Fair Havens. What did you see? What was it like inside?
Yes. So I was invited by the facilities administration because they were primarily interested in having someone talk with their staff about what they were experiencing and kind of tell their story. But I did get a tour, and I went in on April 24th. I spoke with several of the staff members, nurses, and the CNA. And I also put on all the PPE and toured one of the units where the COVID positive patients were. I didn't go in any rooms with them, but I did see some empty resident rooms. And so I could see what the conditions were like, and I can see how easily it would spread in a, you know, a highly infectious disease in close quarters, because some of the rooms, you know, you have a roommate and then you and your roommate are sharing a bathroom with somebody else and their roommate. So you could see how something like that could spread, especially if you were asymptomatic and didn't know you had it. The staff members that I spoke with expressed that they were just heartsick about what was happening to the residents that they have been talking to every day and taking care of. And then they were also dealing with a lot of hate on social media from people calling them killers and saying that they caused the spread of this through, you know, neglectful treatment. And then a few of the staff members that I spoke with were also isolating themselves from their own families. So they were experiencing a lot of stress, a lot of emotion about that. Other than those things, you know, the PPE and the people being kind of closed off from the common areas, it seemed like a normal nursing home in that, you know, it was quiet, and they had put up like Hawaii decorations and things to try to make it a little more cheerful. But, you know, it was definitely a little bit more somber than you would normally expect.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the 21st. We're having our Monday Reporter Roundtable with the latest on COVID-19 across Illinois. We've just been speaking with Allison Petty, who's an editor at the Decatur Herald and Review paper. We've also been talking to Molly Parker, a reporter with the Southern Illinoisan. And now I want to bring Rebecca Anzell from Capital News Illinois into the conversation, Statehouse reporter. And Rebecca, there have been a number of legal filings in the last week or so as a small number of people begin to resist the governor's stay-at-home orders. And let's start with the cases brought by the state representatives. What are those cases about?
So the first case was filed by Representative Darren Bailey. He's a Republican from Zena. His case was heard in Clay County, so down south. He was seeking to, just for himself, to be lifted from the governor's stay-at-home order. He said that the governor had exceeded his authority by issuing successive 30-day disaster proclamations. You know, a judge agreed with him and granted him a what's called a temporary restraining order. So he did get that relief. On Friday, he gave that up, though. His attorney had said that they have new documents, which Thomas DeVore had sort of characterized as a game changer. Those ended up being basically documents that showed the state was tasking the Illinois Department of Public Health and local health departments with enforcing the state home order. And so DeVore and, you know, Bailey by proxy is arguing that if the Illinois Department of Public Health is to enforce state home orders, they should follow the procedures outlined in the statute that created that department, which says an Illinois resident cannot be quarantined or isolated without either consenting to that or without a judge granting a court order. And that hasn't really happened. Representative John Cabello, who's a Republican, he's up north. His case is filed in Winnebago County. His suit applies to the entire state's residents and sort of encompasses that argument that I was just referencing, that the state overstepped their authority and the Department of Public Health is the one that should be enforcing quarantine and isolations. One key thing to note is that Governor Pritzker's executive orders don't say quarantine or isolation, they say stay at home. So it'll be interesting to see what a judge rules.
Yeah, and a little bit later, I'm going to be talking to one of, I think, our two favorite constitutional law experts, Anne Lucene, about her view of this. Molly, I wonder, are you beginning to see some of that defiance at the local level in southern Illinois? Mayors, state's attorneys, people like that who say that they're not going to be enforcing the governor's orders?
Certainly, and I think there's maybe some nuance in what they're saying or trying to say, maybe even some disagreements on who has the authority to even, you know, make these enforcement orders, but we've definitely seen growing, impatience with the governor's extended stay at home orders in Southern Illinois, where, you know, and the reality is while we have some high per capita numbers in some of our counties, we don't have overwhelmed hospitals. I think that's generally fair to say. We've had a lot of hospital staff furloughed and people concerned about putting off, elective surgeries. They say elective, but to some people, they're not maybe that elective. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pushback and questions being asked. I mean, I could think of people who've made statements, the Johnson County Sheriff, the Jefferson County Sheriff, Perry County, Energy, Harrisburg, Marion, they've all weighed in on this. But I think Rebecca was talking about this, who has the authority, I have never heard the governor talk about asking police departments to go around necessarily arresting people. My understanding is that authority lies with health departments. And that's been interesting to watch. You know, health departments are trying to respond when there are these congregated outbreaks like at Gilster Mary Lee, but, they feel like they're lacking guidance. When is the right time to, take action if it's necessary to tell a business, in that case, an essential business, but if someone does open up, I think there's going to be a patchwork of county response, but I definitely think in Southern Illinois, you're seeing the political divisions that were already there under the surface are certainly on display in this crisis as it moves forward.
Mm-hmm. And only a couple minutes left in our conversation, but Allison, are you seeing in the Decatur area any sort of rising frustration or defiance with the stay-at-home orders?
Yes, a little bit. So our city council had been set to vote tonight on adding the mask requirements to city code, which would have allowed police to have some teeth and be able to write tickets if people weren't complying. There was a big public outcry, and the mayor pulled it off the agenda after finding that there were then not enough council votes to pass it.
Hmm. And Rebecca, I guess last question to you, if you can talk a little bit about there was a church lawsuit and apparently a judge denied their request, but they ended up meeting over the weekend anyway, right?
Yeah, there's a church about 40 miles or so west of Rockford, the Beloved Church in Lena. They had filed just, you know, a suit saying that their First Amendment rights were being breached, and a judge did not agree with them. They did meet, though. About 60 to 80 people were there at services yesterday. And the church had said in the statement they issued hand sanitizer, masks and such.
All right. Well, I'm sure we will continue to follow these developments as people continue trying to live or try not to live under the stay-at-home order. That is Rebecca Anzell, who covers state government for Capital News Illinois. We also spoke with Allison Petty, regional editor with the Decatur Herald and Review newspaper, and Molly Parker, reporter for the Southern Illinoisan. Thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Coming up, a number of conversations about the governor's stay-at-home order. We're going to be talking to an expert on the Illinois Constitution, a business owner in Southern Illinois, as well as a health department in Southern Illinois. Different perspectives on whether it's time to begin reopening Illinois' economy. That's coming up after the break. You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Stay with us.